Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here, and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
My name's Samuel. My friends call me Sam. I have an elder brother named Joseph. We never met our dad, and mom passed away a few years ago. Joseph worked in a local garage until the coronavirus outbreak took place. Needless to say, he lost his job. We would have starved if not for our grandparents leaving money for us. The house we lived in belonged to them as well. I'm currently in junior high, and Joseph was about to finish high school until the lockdown took place and changed our lives forever. Everyone accepted quarantine and locked themselves inside their houses. Joseph and I spent our days doing house chores, playing board games, or watching movies. The house we lived in was quite old, especially the basement. It was so dark and dingy that I hated going there. But Joseph would send me to do laundry, even if he knew I was scared of the basement.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Maybe he wanted me to conquer the fear this way. Anyways, it was a rainy Monday afternoon. Daylight hid behind the dark clouds in the sky. I woke up hearing the sound of a thunderstorm outside. I was coming down from the stairs when my eyes went to the floor. I saw muddy footprints started from the main door and stopped right in front of the basement door. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. The main door was wide open, and so was the basement door. Joseph went to buy groceries for storage, so I knew I was supposed to be the only one in the house. A gust of wind slammed the main door, and it closed, making a loud thud. My heart started to beat like a wild horse. I grabbed an umbrella from the stand and walked towards the basement to check. I stood in front of the basement. The basement was dark as hell. I heard sounds down there. Oh my god, there's an intruder in my house. Suddenly, I heard footsteps coming upstairs. I quickly stood against the wall and waited for the stranger to get out. The footsteps were coming closer and closer. As soon as I saw a foot stepping outside the basement, I swung the umbrella in full speed, hitting the man in the head.
Damn it! What the hell is wrong with you, Sam?
Joe! It's you. I'm so sorry. I saw the muddy footprints and thought someone broke in.
Yeah, right. By unlocking the main door?
I remembered my brother locked the door before going out. I felt dumb for freaking out like a toddler. Joseph made me clean the entire floor for hitting him. After finishing the mopping on the floor, I went to the basement to keep the equipment. The sound of a thunderstorm made the basement even creepier this time. I tried the lights, but they didn't switch on. Every time the lightning sparked, I could see the basement. So I figured out my way using the flash of lightning. There's a washing machine on my left and shelves to keep our things at my right. I went there and placed the mop in the bucket. I looked around one more time when suddenly, lightning flashed and I heard a groaning sound. The sound was scary as hell. And without wasting a single second, I ran upstairs.
Joe, there's a ghost in the basement! I'm telling you, there's something wrong with our basement!
You get scared at everything, huh? Fine. I'll keep it locked from now on, and you don't have to go there anymore. I'll do the laundry. Happy? I felt some relief that finally Joseph agreed to let me stay out of that place. But the more time passed, weird things started to happen. One night, I went to the kitchen to drink water when I heard a sobbing sound coming from the basement, as if someone was in pain. The cry went on for a few minutes, then stopped all of a sudden. I went close to the basement door and twisted the doorknob to open it.
Sam, what the hell are you doing here this late?
I turned around and saw my brother was standing behind me with a surprised look on his face.
I just heard a sound from the basement. I think you should go check it.
Stop making these silly stories, Sam. I've had enough about the basement. Just go to your room and sleep.
I knew if I argued more with Joe, he would get furious, so I shrugged it off and went back to bed. The next morning, Joe went out to get a few things on his own. This was my chance to search the basement and driving away from my fear of the unknown. But as I tried to open the door, I found it locked, which seemed weird to me because there was no reason to lock the basement door. I thought Joe may have locked it so that I don't get scared going down there out of curiosity. But with time, my brother's behavior started to change drastically. At night, I could hear him talking. I saw him going in and out of the basement a lot. I wanted to ask him what was going on, but didn't have the courage. One night, Joe and I watched football after dinner. He drank a lot of beers and passed out on the couch. I was thinking about going to my room and sleeping. Just when I walked past the basement door, I heard the muffled cry once again. It was the voice of a woman. I gathered all the courage and took out the key from Joe's pocket while he slept. I could sense that something was wrong going on in our house. I twisted the key and opened the door without making a sound. I walked down the stairs. My heart was beating heavily. The basement was dark, and I turned on the flashlight that I brought with me. The basement was the same like last time, except there was a bumpy cloth lying right in the corner. I could tell that there was something underneath the damp cloth, and it was moving.
Oh my God, what is that?
As soon as I uttered those words, the thing underneath the cloth started to move again. I heard the muffled cry one more time. I tiptoed towards it even though I was extremely scared, and I grabbed the cloth and removed it in one go. A girl was lying on the floor. Her hands and legs were tied, and her mouth was taped as well. She looked at me with terrified eyes. Her stare was asking for help. I was out of my mind.
Did Joe keep you here all this time?
The girl nodded her head frantically. I couldn't believe my brother could do something like this. I realized that I had to save her and stop my brother before he could hurt her more. I silently walked upstairs again to call the cops. Joe was sleeping in the same manner on the couch. I dialed 911 from his cell phone and told them to come quickly. I then rushed back to the basement.
Don't worry, I've called the cops. They'll be here soon.
I got busy untying the poor girl. She was of my brother's age. When I removed the duct tape from her mouth, I finally was able to recognize her. She studies in our school. I've seen her many times in the cafeteria. I had no idea Joe knew her because he never talked to any girls. Not that I know of.
Sam! What are you doing?
I heard Joe's voice behind me. He was burning in anger.
Joe, this isn't right. You can't torture her like this. Why did you bring her here?
I'm not torturing her. I love her.
She just doesn't realize that. She needs time to accept my love, you know? Then we can all stay happy, like a family. Isn't it, Nina?
Joe looked at the girl and smiled in a very freaky way. For a moment, I felt this man wasn't my brother. This is someone else.
No, you're keeping her against her will. That's not right.
Shut up! You don't tell me what's right. I'm your eldest brother, and you do exactly what I tell you to. Now go to your room and leave Nina alone.
No, please, please don't leave me with him. Please do not leave me here.
Nina grabbed my hand tightly and pleaded with me to not leave her there. I don't know how I got the courage, but I looked at Joe with determined eyes and said,
No, I'm not leaving her with you. The cops will be here soon. I must stop you before you make another mistake, Joe.
What? You called the cops? Holy shit, why did you do that?
Joe ran upstairs like a timid cat. I ran behind him to stop him, but he escaped. When the cops came and found Nina in our basement, they informed her parents. My brother abducted her on her way home from school. Nina's parents appreciated me for standing against my brother, helping her to get back to her family. I've been put into foster care. The cops are still searching for my brother. I just want to give him a message. Joe, if you're watching this, please surrender yourself to the cops. I know they'll punish you for what you did, but it'll be better to get over this incident than run away from it your entire life. Please come back. You're the only family I have. Before starting the story, I would suggest you guys to go subscribe to the channel. It turns out that most of you guys who watch me aren't actually subscribed. So, if you like the content and want to support the channel, go ahead and subscribe and hit the bell. It's free, and you can always change your mind later. My name's Daniel, and this happened last year during the quarantine phase. I went to study literature at California University, but due to the coronavirus outbreak, our semester was postponed, and we all had to return home. My parents got divorced when I was in high school, so I mostly stayed with my mom in Alabama. My father lives in Australia with his second family, and my mom lives in the UK with her boyfriend, so I had the house to myself. I was accustomed to living alone from quite a young age, as my parents used to travel a lot. I called my mom the day I left for home from California. Hey mom, how's everything going there? Oh, Daniel, lockdown is taking place here as well. Are you sure you'll be fine alone? I mean, if you want, you can stay with your friends for a while until I come back. It's alright, Mom. I can take care of myself, and the house as well. My little boy is all grown up. Listen, Danny, the house remained empty for the last year. You might have to clean it. And if you need help, don't hesitate to ask Mr. Clarkson. I told him you would be coming home. I can manage things on my own, Mom. Hey, I have to go now, or I'll miss the flight. I'll see you soon. Bye. I got onto the flight. I was going home after almost 2 years. I was worried about this pandemic, but also excited to be home. It took me about 6 hours to reach home. My house was in a small town. So many memories came back to me. The house was exactly how I remembered it from last time. My mom told me that the keys were inside the hanging plant pot. After searching for a few seconds, I found the key. I was expecting the house to be covered with dust, but as soon as I opened it, I saw a mess all around. Furniture was not in their place. There were dirty rags scattered on the floor. Jeez, Mom, what have you done to this place? I thought to myself. I decided to clean the house first and then freshen up, so I walked straight to my room to keep my luggage. But as soon as I stepped in, I was shocked. My room was even dirtier than the whole house. There were muddy footprints all over my bed sheets, and I found the room window wide open. I had no idea some homeless person snuck inside while the house was locked and stayed here. I immediately checked the entire house to be sure whoever came here was gone now. I checked every single space where a human being could hide. After searching the house for half an hour, I finally became sure. I cleaned everything and finally went to take a shower. The cold water calmed me down. Suddenly, my doorbell rang. What the hell is it now? I wrapped the towel around and opened the door. It was Mr. Clarkson.
Hey, Daniel. Your mom told me you'd be coming home today. I just came to drop a few things off for you.
I saw a bag full of groceries and food items in his hands.
But Mr. Clarkson...
Oh, stop it now. You'll need these things in lockdown. Mr. Clarkson has always been good to me since my childhood. I took the bags and thanked him. He left with a smile. I looked at the clock on the living room wall. It was 9 o'clock already. I changed into my pajamas and made some pasta for dinner. I turned on the music to cheer up my mood. Don't remember how long I was busy cooking, but suddenly a weird smell heightened my senses. It was the smell of burnt tobacco, and it was all around the house. I'm a non-smoker and all the windows were closed, so there was no way of outside smell entering the house. I searched but failed to find the source of the smell. Within a few days, I started feeling a creepy presence inside the house. Like, I knew I was alone in the house, but at the same time, I felt that maybe I wasn't. Maybe someone or something was constantly watching me. One night, I almost had a heart attack. I dozed off on the living room couch while watching TV. Suddenly, I opened my eyes feeling uncomfortable for no reason. I saw someone was crawling on the floor in the dark. It was like a human figure, but very, very skinny. A gasping sound came out of my mouth, and that figure looked right at me. Even though its face was in complete darkness, its eyes burnt like flaming charcoal, so wide and so terrifyingly bright. I sprung back on the couch and rubbed my eyes to look properly. I turned around to switch the lamp on near me, but within that few seconds, the figure was gone. There wasn't a single trace of that demonic creature or whatever it was. Since that night, I never turned the lights off while sleeping. I couldn't go anywhere else as the complicated lockdown was going on. All I could do was live in an unknown fear that my childhood home was haunted or having a paranormal episode. I wanted to tell my mother, but I knew it would just make her worry. So I decided to figure these eerie occurring by myself. Within a few days, I started noticing a shortage of food in the house. And soon, I realized that figure was an intruder, and someone was sneaking into the house at night to steal. I finally made up my mind that I would catch this thief anyhow. The only issue was I couldn't figure out how someone is entering the house when I'm keeping everything locked. I was sure someone might have stolen the key and made a copy. This all might have happened when this house was empty. I was shocked to see the audacity of the intruder, that even knowing that I'm living here, the person is still coming at night. I made a plan. It was a rainy night, and my instincts told me that the intruder might come tonight, looking for food and shelter. I finished my dinner early that day and slept inside my room. I wanted to keep the living room empty so that the intruder can sneak in easily by the main door. I kept a baseball bat near my bed and acted as if I was in deep sleep. The night went by and I was getting impatient. Suddenly, I heard a sound, as if someone was pushing a door. I knew that the intruder was trying to get in. The door of my room was wide open. I kept staring at the door without blinking, when all of a sudden, I saw movement inside my room. There was a huge mirror on my wall to the left of my room. Surprisingly, the mirror was moving in a very weird manner, but before I could react to that, what I saw shook me for life. The mirror opened as if someone pushed it slowly from the other side, and I saw a skinny woman coming out of the space behind the mirror. She came out and was about to go to the living room when she looked at the bed and our eyes met again for one last time. Oh my God, who the hell are you? I jumped off the bed holding the baseball bat in my hand. The woman looked at the main door and then looked back at me. She didn't get scared at all. Her face was very creepy. She said in a squeaky voice,
"I loved the turkey sandwich last night."
I was so shocked by her appearance that I forgot to move. She then ran full speed towards the main door. I ran behind her as well. But before I could catch her, she opened the door and ran away. I saw her creepy body disappearing in the rain and lightning. I couldn't sleep the entire night. I checked the area behind the mirror. I found food wrappers, ashes, cigarette butts, and plastic bottles inside it. Dirty rags were cuddled up like a nest inside that huge hole. God knows how long this woman was living inside of our house. The quarantine was a painful time. Humans never felt this much threatened when they got locked up inside their own houses. I live in an apartment amidst the city. The neighborhood around is not very friendly. There's an alley full of addicts and homeless people. During the pandemic, the spread of the virus increased rapidly in my area. Hence, I had to isolate myself completely. I spent my days watching TV or reading books. And sometimes, when I felt too claustrophobic, I used to go sit on the balcony. I could see the entire neighborhood from my bedroom balcony. On the other side stood another old building. There's an apartment on the same level as mine. A man lived there. I saw him many times roaming inside the apartment. One night, I was watching TV in my living room when I overheard an argument. A man and a woman were arguing. As I already said, this neighborhood wasn't an ideal place if you want to live in peace. There's always some type of brawl going on around here. I don't know why, but I went to the balcony to take a look. I kept the lights off so no one could see me. I saw the man in the opposite apartment. He was fighting with a woman. I couldn't see the face of the woman, But suddenly, she got furious and ran towards their balcony. She got up on the balcony, and for a moment, I thought she was going to jump. The man rushed behind her, and before she could jump, he grabbed her from behind and went inside. The lights were turned off, and everything went quiet immediately. I came back to my living room, but couldn't help but think about them. Since that incident, the man's behavior changed forever. I didn't see that woman anymore. Whenever I came to the balcony, I could see the man spraying a liquid all over his house. It wasn't weird because I thought he might be sanitizing his home, but I never saw anyone going to their house or them coming out. So what's the point of disinfecting the house now and then? One morning, the cops came and picked up the homeless people to put them into a shelter. Most of these homeless people were infected, so after their evacuation, the entire alley was sanitized. The entire locality was completely silent after that. I could hear neighbors talking, as the apartments were in close distance. One night, I wasn't getting any sleep, so I went to smoke on the balcony. The roads were empty and silent. Suddenly, I heard a woman weeping. My eyes went straight to the apartment of the mysterious man. I heard him threatening that woman.
"Don't you dare sneak behind me, Samara! I will never let you do that!"
The woman said in a sobbing voice.
"Please stop this madness! You've gone insane, Robert! This is not right! Please!"
And she started weeping terribly. I could see their bedroom window and the man standing in front of it, looking to the other side of the room. I couldn't see the whole room, but I could tell that the woman was in the room as well.
Oh my god, is he keeping her hostage?
I wanted to be sure, so I tried to look, but suddenly, that man looked right into my eyes. I will never forget the dead cold stare he gave me. He closed the curtains on my face. I couldn't help but think how cruel the man was. He's keeping that poor woman against her will, and surely torturing her. I could have called the cops on him, but the woman called him by his name, and I've heard them arguing a lot times before. I wanted to be sure of this man's intentions before interfering in the matter further. Every night, I went to the balcony waiting to hear the woman's voice one more time, or the man screaming at her, but they all went quiet all of a sudden. 3 days went by, and it felt like no one lived in that apartment anymore. The curtains were closed at all times. I thought they might have gone somewhere, or it was a couple of fights which they had sorted out on their own eventually. Until one night, I heard the woman's voice again.
"Please, Rob, it's our son! You can't keep him like this anymore! Please stop this madness, for God's sake!"
"Why don't you just shut up? Listen, if you want to be awake, then keep your mouth shut, or I will shove those sleeping pills inside your mouth so you will never wake up again!"
"Do that. Kill me. I don't want to live like this anymore. This is insanity. I can't stand this."
"Danny is my son too, Samara. I know what will be good for him. You are a mother. How can you ask your child to be taken from you? What kind of woman are you?"
Samara didn't speak anymore. All I could hear was her muffled cry fading away. I was completely confused with this weird family, but I convinced myself that they're having family issues, and as a stranger, it wouldn't be nice to step in on their private lives. But for a moment, the question did come to my mind. Why is he giving his wife sleeping pills forcefully? A month went by, and I stopped paying attention to their arguments. My interest kind of faded away, because it wasn't that uncommon of an event. I mean, no family is perfect. One fine morning, I was making breakfast when I heard cop car sounds. I thought the cops might be patrolling the area to pick up the homeless again, but the car siren didn't fade away. It was coming from a very close distance. I ran towards the balcony and saw paramedics were inside the man's apartment. They opened the room windows and a foul smell choked the air. I saw two cops talking to a paramedic staff. Within a few seconds, I saw them taking out three bodies on stretchers. The entire family was dead. I was shocked. The entire situation felt too complicated. But I didn't have to wait long. The truth unraveled as the cops did a further investigation. It came to know that the man named Robert lived with his wife Samara and Daniel in the apartment. They were a happy family, but Daniel fell sick somehow and the lockdown took place right then. Due to the unavailability of proper medical help in the middle of a pandemic, the poor kid passed away in the apartment. The couple broke down in pain, but Robert lost his mind completely. He denied reporting his son's death to the hospital just to keep his body with him. Now I realized why Samara repeatedly told him it was madness. She tried to make him realize, but he was adamant to not give Daniel away. Soon, the couple started to fight terribly, and Samara warned Robert that if he doesn't inform the paramedics, she will. As soon as Samara said that, Robert took it as a threat. He thought she was trying to get rid of their son, so he started giving her pills to sleep all day and keep her mouth shut. But too many pills would have killed her as well. They fought and fought until Robert took the final step. He couldn't deal with the grief of his son's death and keep torturing his wife like this as well. So one night, he gave Samara a huge amount of sleeping pills. It caused a heart attack in her sleep, and then he hung himself. Maybe someone smelt the rotten bodies and called the cops. When the cops broke in, they found three horrible-looking corpses inside that apartment. I had serious trouble sleeping at night after this incident came out. Often, at night, I woke up thinking the entire family is standing on my balcony and watching me.